Good morning, councillors. We are back here again, but this one is an environment degree. What we are doing is very technical in nature, and we have to do it to be consistent with RCWU. This comes to you following the amendments that DES made to our critical area ordinance and the relationship of those changes to our shoreline master program. So I'll turn it over to Gary to just walk you through in a high-level format to show you what is it that we are doing. And with the approval of this, when it comes to a hearing, we will be in compliance with the RCWU recent amendments in terms of how we look at some critical areas ratings. And you've seen this before when you went through some of this, when you went through the, it came to you through a hearing from the Department of Environmental Services on ratings and so forth. So Gary, take it away.
Good morning, councillors. Shoreline Master Program.
Did Gordy push this over on you?
Yes.
Oh, there he is over there.
I'm not sure he pushed it. I kind of like it.
You get awarded.
Yes, awarded. Thank you. I'm honored to take it. So Clark County adopted an updated Shoreline Master Program in 2012. So this limited amendment would improve consistency between the county shoreline program and the state standards. So I've got a slide. So we've got 18 changes that have grouped into five categories. So on the left is a proposed change, and the reason, and on the right is the reason for the change. So I'll start at the top, the critical areas ordinance. That's proposed change, and the reason for that is it better defines the relationship between the critical areas ordinance and the Shoreline Master Program. And then the next one is revised exemptions from a shoreline substantial development permit. It adds language about demolished residents and normal maintenance. And the next one is revised references to stormwater. It complies with the state mandate by January 1, 2016. And Environmental Services is making some changes in that we have referenced in our current codes. They're basically going from 4385 to 4386. So in that piece, we're just making connecting the dots right there. So when the ordinance is written, and assuming you guys approve this, this portion of the ordinance will not become effective until January 8th, 2016. So that's the reference to the 4386. So, and then the next one is revised specific use regulations, adds demolished or damaged language for existing residential structures. And then the last one is revised definitions for normal maintenance and normal repair, which improves the clarity of the definition.
So, what does it do specifically for the damage or residential structures? How does that change?
For the first one, the exemptions from a shoreline substantial development permit. So this one up top, sir. This one.
Add demolished or damaged language for existing residential structures. What language could it add?
Well, it defines it by a 60%. It defines it. So if
it just
defines it. Right now it's not defined. So we're defining what it means.
Okay.
So right now there is no. It's just when it comes to the current planners, they don't know how to interpret it. So the current planner will now understand that it's 60%, less than 60%. And then just a quick little slide on the Growth Management Act and the Shoreline Management Act. So the Shoreline Management Act is the 14th goal of GMA. And the Shoreline Master Program regulates the critical areas in shoreline jurisdiction. And the shoreline regulations must protect at least as well as critical area regulations do. So the Planning Commission held a hearing on August 20th. And voted 7-0 to recommend forwarding an approval to the Board of Clark County Council. And then And the board is having a hearing, as Oliver has already mentioned, August 29th to go over these proposed changes.
September 29th.
You apologize. Said to the Planning Commission?
The Planning Commission on August 20th, they recommended forwarding an approval to this board.
You're almost out. So first question. It has to do with the cooperation, collaboration, brainstorming in common between Planning Commission, long-term planning, and Environmental Services Department. And Environmental Services there are resident experts on water quality, clean water, stormwater, pollution control. How much have they participated in this process? Are they all on the same page?
They are. I've worked very close with Kevin Tyler from Environmental Services on these changes.
So they're signed off on it. They're good.
They're on board.
And some of these changes, as I indicated earlier, were done by them. But in as much as they have control over clean water, critical area ordinance, my shop is responsible for making sure that changes made to those areas must be consistent with the state statute, and we have to take it through the legislative process, i.e. the Planning Commission, and then the board, for you to take a legislative action by approval, so that we can at least check off that our code and our policies are consistent with the 14th goal of the statute.
Yes.
So they're on board.
Okay,
which is good. Yes, so December of 2014, this board approved those changes to the environmental regulations. So all I'm doing is incorporating those changes into our current SMP.
Yes.
Okay. So you've already seen them.
All right.
And now we're just adding them just to make them consistent.
The information.
Yes.
Further down the pipe.
Yes.
Okay. So the opening here indicated the purpose for this whole thing is to improve consistency between the county shoreline plan program and the state standards.
Yes.
The question is, being that was the thrust, are there areas where it's still different?
I don't believe so at the moment.
So basically the state standards are adopted as college standards, and we haven't gone different from that in area
than
it is the state. No, the section that we are approving, some of that recommendation for that approval came from ecology, and that's what prompted DES to make those changes.
Okay.
And here now we are incorporating that into the Shoreline Master Program, all for consistency. When will we do our checklist back to Commerce or back to the state, we can identify that these changes have been made relative to the recent amendment to the regulation so that we are consistent.
I have a question. Is this, I call it body of law, this document, where the number of feet are specified for the buffers for the various streams, or is that elsewhere?
It is in this document for the Shoreline Master Program.
Okay. Are those numbers very specifically defined by the state, or does that vary by depending on what county you're in?
There's state statute.
So the state defines those numbers.
Yes.
It's not something that's elective.
Yes.
Their numbers are our numbers.
Right. Yes, because it was based off the Shoreline Management Act. So it covers 200 feet from the ordinary high water mark, includes the wetlands, the floodplains, and all wetlands associated with the shoreline. So there are buffers that are included in that. For each designation, we've got 7 different designations.
So there's different distances for each category.
Yes. And Councilor, again, the way that the statute is written is, for example, on the critical area ordinance, it talks about best available science, and that sometimes comes from ecology. In this case, the ratings and how those are going to be administered came from them. So following their guidelines to make the changes we made to our code, which this board approved when it came before you, and we have no other choice except to be in compliance.
Certainly compliance is a given. We absolutely must comply. Got that. I just want to make sure that if there be any area where there's discretion, there are differences between the state and the our county, that those are, so it sounds like there is none. We just simply adopt their standards.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I want to ask a question about, it sounds like in a few areas, the county code was less restrictive than the state, and that we're attempting to make correction here. So I'm wondering if we have any developments that are in the process, or building permits for homes that are in the process, that when we adopt the state standard as opposed to using the county code, that we'll have complications from that.
Councilors, what we often do is that we review applications based on the code that are in effect at the time of that application, which gets you the vesting. So if there are applications that are in the pipeline and they follow the code that was in place at the time, if they vest, we have to process that application based on what the code was in effect at the time. Going forward, when this becomes effective in terms of the effective date, then any new application that comes in has to comply with the new changes.
But we don't have, as far as we know, any major current applications that this will create.
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of, Cassie.
And I see three heads shaking no, and these are people that would know, so.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know, because if we did have somebody that was hanging in limbo, we would want to know how we can advise them, or, you know, what state law would permit if it's something in the process. So, good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, I always like to go back to one of my big pet peeves, and that is the growth management act and those mandates as what has to be part of it. I went back and read, 70A and so on, in the different sections. One of the things I noticed is that while each entity, such as the Growth Management Act, is mandated under the Growth Management Act, is not necessarily in itself a part of the comprehensive plan, to my study. It's something that is attached to or has to go with it. And that's the reason that we're able to change it when different things come down, whether it be a state mandate or something that we adopt here locally. So I want to make sure that I understand that to be the same with our shoreline master plan, that is part of the mandate of the Growth Management Act, but not necessarily attached to our comprehensive plan.
Councillor, that's correct. And I think what we try to do when we come to the council is try to identify what are mandated by the statute, and then what local governments or counties are including or attaching it to the comp plan as optional element. The statute calls for elements that are mandated, and then also calls for some other elements that are optional at the discretion of a local jurisdiction to adopt. A good example would be school element is not required by the statute, but Clark County, in working with all the school districts in the county, decided to have a school element as an optional. That doesn't mandate the county to do anything for the schools, but it mandates that as we do our plan, we look at and we coordinate with the school district in siting of schools inside and outside of Bangor County. Those type of issues are optional, but it helps the school district in their own planning and in their own planning per se. So a good example is when the plan was adopted in 2007, the previous board did add Three Creeks
for example, wrote it into the comp plan, but that was a response to calling the citizens out there that says they would like to see the county address transportation and land use in the Three Creeks area. That again is not required by the Growth Management Act, but it was optional, it was just a response. We struggle with this dismantling the Three Creeks because it was written into the comp plan, but those are just, you know, examples. This one is the Shoreline Master Program is the 14th goal of the Act. So we have to, as we do our comp plan, make sure that we are in compliance with the state statute. And these amendments, some of them are coming from the state that says, here are now based on best available science, how you're going to go about rating and, you know, some of this buffering, for example. And it's based on some studies and some science that are into it, and you have to incorporate it into your development regulations, and that's, we have no choice except to...
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is that
yes,
they move forward side by side, not integrated.
Let me, I think, rephrase the concern, and I think that we all share here, and contrast that between the two ways that we can submit a comp plan to the state. The comp plan is a very formal, highly structured process, and once we stick something in there, it's locked. It's the most concrete body that you can, once you put it in there, good luck in getting it out and modifying it. However, in contrast to ensuring that we meet all the requirements, when we submit that, here it is, this is the complete document, everything that's inside that document is integrated into it because it has to be in there because it's mandated by RCW. But the meeting the requirements of state law can also take the form of a checklist that says, yes, we did this, yes, we comply with that, by reference to external code that we have adopted, and that comprehensive does not have to embody and encapsulate that code. That comprehensive plan can say, yes, we have it, it's in our code so-and-so, and it's outside of the comp plan, that formal document, and that allows us to be able to satisfy the needs of the comp plan, because yes, we comply, yes, we have it, but it also gives us the flexibility to modify that, to amend it as necessary, so that we retain as much flexibility in the future to tailor it for our needs as we go through, as we see fit in the future. Do I understand that? I think what we're saying here is that we want that we have the concise, limited amount, and only what is required to be in the comp plan, and everything else needs to comply with it, but that's to be external and referenced by the company. And I assume, you know, we are consistent with that second way. Everything that can be external is external, right?
At the end of the day, that's going to be your call on what you want to make optional. But our role is to come to you and say that this is what the statute requires, and that the plan that we have prepared is consistent with that statute until challenged. That's going to be our role. All I'm saying is that I agree with the observation that Councillor Milk is making, is that we are going to be coming to the council with what is mandated and what is optional. If you look at how I present my work program, for example, to the council, we constantly show the council what is mandated by statute, what is mandated by our code, and what are the pet projects of the council that we have to do. You approve it, now it's going to be work approving that, and that's become our two-year work program. The only thing I do is I tie that work program to our budget.
Yes. We've been working on this comp plan for years, and I assume that it has taken the form of it has enough structure that we know what that embodies. That this is the comp plan, we insert documents into that comp plan so we know what's in. I know there are most of them, if not all of them, are draft at this point. And also, what's out? Do we have that degree of definition? Do we know, do we have a container that says, this is what's inside the comp plan?
Yes,
and
we do.
And that's posted on our website.
Yes.
Yes.
And that link is?
It's on our website. Another example is, when you do your comp plan, just like you just went through the parks, you have to come up with a funding source to implement that. That's required. You may just give us, you know, a generalized, you know, document in your comp plan and attach your capital facilities plan that supports that plan as by reference. You can do it that way. We've done that in the past. So there are supporting documents to your comp plan, but internally, your comp plan has to be consistent, and the same is true with our code. Anytime we do our comp plan, if there are changes in policy, if there are changes in direction, we have to develop a code that supports that.
Right. That screen is coming from PC, right? Or you
direct? Yes.
Can you take us to and show us that comp plan collection, that body, that on our website, so you see what's in, what's out.
I was a little bit amused when I was going through and rereading WRCW that there was one sentence in there saying that if it was unable to be funded, it became null and void.
Yeah, that's true.
I see that you had to go through lots of steps to get there. This document is going on our grid, that, and so can we also include the direct link on the grid associated with this document to
scroll down.
The deep link?
Scroll down. Go on through this. No. Just hit the next, the bottom there. Bottom, go down there. That takes you to 2016.
This is the link you'd like to see, sir?
If you go to the grid, go to the counselor's grid for a minute. Let me see what. Go to the counselor's grid. Open it up. Go to today. I think go to today and see the exhibits. Open the flex exhibit. Now you can see these changes. It's on your grid. This is our code and the language that we are talking about in terms of the limited amendments. Some of this again is some of the work that have already been done by DES that we are incorporating into our code. So you've seen this, but this is example of the relationship of this change to our code, for example.
Yes, so that's a particular amendment for one document that goes inside the comp plan. If you can show us what is that comp plan document or body of documents look like?
We have to go back to our own website, show you what the current, because we are working on the comp plan text as we speak, pending the final, pending your direction on the preferred plan, if there are any changes to the current policy, that's where we make those changes. But we are, what we currently have is the comp plan document that was adopted in 07. That is on our web page. If you go there, you can see all the chapters. Mark, if you want to chime in, go ahead.
On the county homepage, on the right side, where it says quick finding, there's a growth plan.
Wait, I'll
go to the homepage.
Yeah,
on the right-hand side, where it says quick finding, growth plan update. Down two more. That takes you to the comp plan page. Scroll down. All the way. Left side, reference documents. Current comprehensive growth management plan document down the road. So it's all there.
Well, I see a lot of things. Point out the one in particular that is the
The first one is the current
The first one, yes, that's the current comp plan.
That's the current one that's already adopted.
So, yes.
Right, so where's the one that we're working on?
God, is the one we're working on there yet?
No.
No, it's not on there yet.
Okay, so it sounds like even though it's draft form, it's not published on the web at all.
There haven't been any formal action on that. What we have been doing is we have had a work session with the PC to keep them informed of what we are doing, and we're going to be coming out of that process. We're going to be coming to the council to say, here are the draft of the comp plan elements, and if there are any changes in policy or anything, that's the time we'll come to you. All that is scheduled to come to the council. And as soon as those things are approved by the council or giving us some heads up, we'll post it on the grid for the entire public to see.
Okay. In other words, you feel like it's inappropriate to publish that draft on the web?
Yes, at this time.
Can you share with us so that we have the full access to the same information as staff has?
Yes.
And the PC has? In its current rough draft form, so you can see the whole body naked.
Yeah, we'll do that, and I think it will get exciting when the board gets us the preferred.
Yeah.
When we know exactly what the preferred is, then we can be able to say, yeah, with this preferred, here are the changes to the policies, and it could lead us to changes in the code. All those things are going to be done. But I think it will be beneficial to us when we get to a preferred plan. We know exactly, and the public know what that is. Then we can begin to articulate what that means in policy changes or not.
I understand. In the preferred plan, that mixing up of the ingredients to bake the cake, I guess what I'm preferring is that you include us in the kitchen rather than bring us the cake ready to bake.
Yes, we'll do that. Yes.
Thank you.
I promise we'll do that.
So I want to ask a similar question, but in a little more simple way. So we're required to adopt state law, and state law may have certain conditions and requirements. And I'm wondering that in our code, where we can indicate that we are principally adopting the state requirements, which is a legal thing, which we need to do, that in the interpretation of what the state means in a certain area, do we have the ability to read that and say, on a local level, we understand what that requirement is, and here is how we in Florida County meet that requirement, which may leave some things a little bit up to interpretation or legal definition or whatever. So we would still, in following, as long as we could prove that we are substantially complying with the state law, we could use certain options, I would think, or use our head a little bit on a local level. As long as we can prove that the steps we've taken have substantially met the letter of the state law.
That's correct, and it gets into the legal realms of your question. Yes, the local government, in this case, you councillors, have some discretion or some deference. The courts and the growth board have interpreted that to, well, while you have deference and while you have discretion, if that deference and discretion goes beyond what you have to allows, then they can tell you that you went too far.
So, even if we wanted to have to demonstrate some discretion and interpretation, it still needs to substantially meet the state law.
Yes.
But if that may give us some, a little bit of reasonable latitude, and I think that's what I hear that, am I mistaken? Is that what we're looking, that we'd like to see?
Yes, and that is in the context, maybe broadly speaking, that I answered Councillor Milky's question, that yes, you got to do those things that are mandated by law, and you have discretion to put something as optional. I should stress that yes, you can, you know, make changes that adapt to your local circumstances. But again, that is going to be left up to interpretation, where the course or if challenged, they can come down that you went too far, whatever the case may be. But you have that discretion to add something to the comp plan in addition, but at the end of the day, the issue is going to be, does your plan, is it consistent with the state statute?
Right, and our interpretations or our discretion could be challenged, so we need to be careful how we used it. But just to know that is a possibility.
Yes.
Is important.
Yes.
Councilor Stewart.
So,
go ahead. I can wait.
Did you have?
Yes, ma'am. So, as an example, for the Electronic Master Program, even though we've got language in here that's from the state and from the WAC, so as an example, what we're doing for the definition, so the normal maintenance, the top normal maintenance means those usual acts to prevent a decline, blah, 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 to the WAC, that's WAC language, but we have the discretion at our local level to define what that means, because if you read the WAC, it's really confusing. What does that mean? So this is what it means to us. So I have a relationship with the Department of Ecology, and they've already seen this and said that, and they've already said, oh, that's fine, that would pass approval for us. So if it's passed approval down here, and we could forward it to them, and they can approve it, and then it would become effective for us at the local level.
So tell me, is this the underlying is language that we're adding?
Yes, ma'am.
So this is in the normal template for when we're talking about changing code. Anything that's currently in that we're going to eliminate is crossed out.
Yes.
You can read it, but it's lined through, and anything we're adding is lined under.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to address this as well. It looks like you're already doing what I was going to ask that you would do, and that is to very clearly reference by footnote or by direct listing both the WACs and the RCWs as each of these specific sentences are written, because unavoidably there is some interpretation that has to happen that can either be liberally construed or very strictly adopted as to translate from the WAC or from the RCW to local specific adopted code or ordinance. And that filter is something that we want to make sure that if it's subject to interpretation, that we'd like to be able to know. The more that we can literally follow what it says, I think the more comfortable we are. But we'd also like to know whether there's been a significant amount of verbal communication between the Department of Ecology and staff here, and those conversations translated into something that isn't necessarily found in state law. We'd like to be able to make sure that discretion is something that is highlighted, so we know where staff has had to fill those gaps.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay. We're doing that.
Talk about WAC.
Is that in the comp plan? In the proposed comp plan?
Well,
it's not in there.
It's not in the comp plan. So the way the Shoreline Master Program is, so we
So we've got our Shoreline Master Program that's implemented through our Title 40. So whenever we make changes to the Title 40, that's what's in our Master Program, and this is what needs to be approved by Department of Ecology. So this is in Title 40, which is a reference document to the comp plan.
So I'd say the policies are in the comp plan.
The policies are in the comp plan.
Sure. Policy.
Okay. That's all we have, councilors. So this is coming to you in the hearing on the 29th of
September 29th, not to be confused with October.
Okay, very good. So it was informational. We're just heads up, it's coming, and it looks pretty straightforward. Just
yes.
Moving down the steps.
Yes.
Yes.
All
right, does that wrap it?
That's
yeah,
about
no. Okay. So I'm really interested in any language changes. And it's not part of the, it's not included in the PowerPoint here. So any of the language changes that we're proposing for Shoreline, I would like to see them in the format that was up on the screen.
What
changes,
was
that? Sections that are being changed.
Yes, we'll do that, and I think that's in the staff report that you will receive for the hearing. That's how we went to the Planning Commission. This is just a PowerPoint presentation to give you a much higher level, but all these exhibits, the track changes, the underline, are going to be in your packet when you receive the hearing packet.
And I'm afraid by the time it gets for the hearing, like I don't object to what we've done there, it looks great, but I want to see that, but to get that 2 days before a hearing is too late.
No,
we'll get it today.
We'll have the print documents for you and put them in our copy and in your inbox.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll do that. Thank you, councilors.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
So we are coming to hearing on the 29th. I hear, come forward.
Good. Three thumbs up.
Good. Thank you, councilors.